afternoon. This is Francis, your volunteer reader with Sun Sounds of Arizona, bringing you our Listener Beware program. For the next half hour, you'll hear about scams, schemes, fraud, and ways to protect yourself and your money. Today, we have an article about what to do if you're up against a ghost network, an article about white labeling, how scammers target your emotions, and a new VA program to help military scam targets. Our first article is from NPR. Up against a ghost network for mental health care? Here's what you can do. Insurers' failures to update their provider directories have led to dire consequences for people seeking mental health care. Here's how you can navigate these challenges to find treatment, by Max Blau, September 22, 2024. It's hard to know if your health insurance plan is as good as advertised. You pay a monthly premium to access a network of health providers, but call the numbers in your provider directory and you're bound to find ones who can't or won't see you. These errors are at the heart of a ghost network. Some providers have moved, retired, or even died. Others have left insurance networks because of low pay and intense scrutiny. Even though these providers no longer accept your insurance, their names may remain in the directory. When that happens, policyholders are left to believe that the plan has more options than actually exist. Any inaccuracy constitutes a ghost network, says Abigail Berman, a consumer protection attorney who studies provider directory errors. This is basic information. It needs to be right. Insurers' failures to correct these errors have led to dire consequences for people seeking mental health care, as demonstrated by a recent ProPublica investigation of one man's months of struggle to access treatment. Because of the widespread nature of ghost networks, some policyholders are more likely to pay out-of-network costs and face a greater chance of treatment delays if they get treatment at all. ProPublica spoke with experts, clinicians, and advocates to understand the challenges posed by provider directory errors. They all suggested specific ways for policyholders to navigate a ghost network. How much do insurers know about the errors in their directories, and what are they required to do about it? Insurers have acknowledged the problem and in some cases have vowed to address it. AHIP, a National Association of Health Insurers, said in a 2023 statement to the U.S. Senate Committee on Finance that insurers update provider directories through regular phone calls, emails, online reminders, and in-person visits. However, AHIP wrote that insurers can't always quickly fix errors because providers sometimes fail to keep their own professional information up to date. AHIP declined ProPublica's request for an interview. But Dr. Robert Trestman, a Virginia psychiatrist who testified about ghost networks to the same committee, told ProPublica that insurers are able to track every detail of finance around things such as billing and coding. Because of that, he said, insurers' failures to set up a system for keeping track of who is in network or not is on them. But insurers haven't had to make it a priority. Simon Hayter, a Texas A&M University professor who studies ghost networks, said that insurers have very little incentive to closely monitor directories. Unless tougher regulations are passed, he said, policyholders will continue to struggle with directories full of inconsistent, outdated, or incomplete data. For years, it has fallen to academic researchers and secret shopper surveys to reveal the pervasiveness of these errors. Lawmakers have passed bills and called for further reforms. In spite of that, the errors still plague policyholders. I'm shopping for a plan. How do I know if it is good as advertised? Do your homework. In the absence of the insurer making it a priority to update its directory, the task of checking its accuracy falls to you. You can head to the website of the insurer whose health plan you're interested in buying. Find the provider portal. Since an insurer may offer different networks for each plan, experts suggest double-checking that you're only searching for providers available in the network that you want. If you already have a provider, type in their name to see if that person is listed in network. If you don't have one, find a provider that's listed as being in network and taking new patients and who seems to meet your needs. From there, experts encourage reaching out directly to the provider to verify that both of those things are true. Verify, 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 said Dr. Jane Ju, an associate professor at Oregon Health and Science University's Medical School who studies ghost networks. Accuracy in behavioral health provider directories is akin to a coin flip. I already have a health plan. What should I do? Don't worry if you've paid for a plan or have one through your employer. There are other ways to minimize the perils of provider directory errors. But experts say that you'll need to arm yourself with some facts. Track down your evidence of coverage. The document, which is typically about 100 pages long, outlines what your insurer must do to fulfill its contractual obligations. For instance, if you can't access an in-network mental health provider within a certain period of time, the insurer may be on the hook for tracking down an out-of-network provider. From there, you can call the insurer to find out if it handles your mental health benefits or if it has outsourced management of them. If those benefits are carved out from your plan, you may have to seek answers about provider directory errors from that subcontractor. Should you encounter any errors in your directory, this information could come in handy. Experts say that by getting these answers, you'll be able to fight for your rights. What should I do if I encounter provider directory errors? Healthcare experts warn that you're likely to encounter errors in your provider directory. They advise not to become discouraged when you do. David Lloyd, Chief Policy Officer with the mental health advocacy group Inseparable, suggests taking notes of the calls to providers. Did they answer the phone? Did they say they accept your plan? Do they see new patients? You can write all your notes down in this handy worksheet created by Cover My Mental Health, an Illinois-based consumer advocacy group. Take photos of the directory errors, too. How many calls should I be expected to make? Some policyholders have called at least 50 supposedly in-network providers in pursuit of an appointment, but experts say you shouldn't have to contact that many. Berman suggests making a reasonable effort. To her, that means making 5 to 10 calls to providers listed in-network. She and others note that if you're in distress because of your mental health, you don't have to call on your own. Ask a friend or family member for assistance and to help advocate for you, said Wendell Potter, a former Cigna vice president who is now a consumer advocate. None of my calls secured an appointment. What should I do now? If you've made that reasonable effort and haven't managed to lock down a provider, experts recommend making another call to your insurer. Inform the customer service rep that you couldn't make an appointment with a listed provider despite multiple attempts. Request that the rep schedule an appointment for you. Then ask for the rep's email address and put the request in writing and ask the rep to reply the same way. Miriam Bendat, a lawyer and psychotherapist in California, suggests reminding insurers that they must share in the responsibility of identifying timely and geographically accessible providers. The exact regulations depend on where you live and the kind of plan you have, so some research may be required before the call. In some instances, you can ask for a care manager and the insurer will assign an employee who can help secure a mental health appointment. Set the expectation that the customer service rep needs to solve this problem, says Joe Feldman, co-founder of Cover My Mental Health. If the rep doesn't connect you with a provider, health insurance experts recommend asking the rep to file an administrative grievance. Persistence is key, Berman said. Be assertive. Demand the grievance be addressed or escalated to a manager who will resolve your concern. Don't feel like you're the problem, Berman said. They are the problem for engaging in deceptive practices. My ghost network grievance hasn't been resolved. Now what? While waiting for your insurer to act, health insurance experts also encourage reaching out to your insurance regulator. Finding that regulator can be a tricky task given America's complex patchwork of insurance regulations. You'll need to determine which government agency oversees your insurer. While more research is required to see who will be able to help, experts point to the following agency as a starting point. Number one, if you purchased a plan from your state's health insurance marketplace or have a fully insured plan through your private employer, you can get in touch with your state's insurance department. Number two, if you have a Medicaid plan, you can contact your state's Medicaid agency. Number three, if you are enrolled in Medicare, you can reach out to the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Number four, if you have a self-funded plan from your private employer or a health and welfare benefit plan from your union, you can try the U.S. Department of Labor's Employee Benefit Security Administration. Once you find the right agency, experts suggest that you prepare your complaint. You don't have to write a new one from scratch. Gather information from your grievance along with any other new developments and submit that to the regulator. Is there anything else I can do? Yes, there are a few other ways. Whatever approach you take, Potter urges you to make noise as if you are a relentless squeaky wheel. If you are covered through an employer's health plan, see if your human resources department can help talk to the insurer. Or contact the constituency service offices of your federal and state elected lawmakers. They might be able to directly reach out, too. Depending on where you live, there may even be legal services or consumer advocacy agencies that can help out as well. As a consumer, your superpower is not going away, Berman said. Your strongest weapon in the face of a company that wants you to go away is to not go away. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Listener Beware with Francis at SunSounds. Today's show features navigating ghost networks, white labeling, how scammers target emotions, and how the VA is fighting fraud. Also from NPR, don't get duped into buying fake products online. Look out for these four red flags. Counterfeit products, especially medicines and safety gear, can be dangerous. Here's how to spot them on e-commerce platforms like Amazon. By Marielle Segura, October 26, 2024. How certain are you that the items you're buying online are the real deal? Chances are you may have been duped at some point or another. Almost 7 in 10 consumers were misled into purchasing counterfeit items online at least one time in the last year, according to a 2023 study from Michigan State University. That's why consumers need to take extra precautions when shopping online, says Kari Kamel, director at the Center for Anti-Counterfeiting and Product Protection at MSU. One of the most important things you can do is know where you're shopping from. Counterfeit goods can be dangerous. Many of these products may not meet government-determined safety standards, says Kamel. So you don't really know what they're made out of. Be especially careful when buying products you can put in your body or on your body, she says. There's a high potential for risk of serious harm. That includes medications, skin creams and vitamins, and items meant to keep you or a pet safe, like brake pads, life jackets, and dog leashes. Even clothes and shoes, the most common counterfeit items according to MSU's study, pose a health risk. They may contain harmful chemicals such as lead. Here are six red flags to help you determine whether an online purchase is counterfeit. Red flag number one, you're buying cheap meds without a prescription from an online pharmacy. Avoid online pharmacies that claim to sell prescription drugs at deeply discounted prices without requiring a prescription, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. They are a potential health risk and they are illegal. The Partnership for Safe Medicines has found that many of these drugs have little to no active ingredients and may contain contaminants like floor wax, mercury, concrete, chalk, road tar, paint, and other deadly poisons. And products sold by these sellers have been found to contain the dangerous drug fentanyl, states the CDC. Safety tips. Only get prescription medication from a licensed pharmacy. The Food and Drug Administration's website links to the pharmacy licensing databases for states and U.S. territories. Click on your state and see if an online pharmacy is listed. If not, the FDA says don't use that pharmacy. And if you're taking a non-prescription pill or supplement, Don't get it from a random third-party seller online or social media, says Kamel. It's too risky. Red flag number two. You don't recognize the name of the seller you're buying from. E-commerce sites like Amazon, editor's note, Amazon is among NPR's financial supporters and pays to distribute some of our content, and Walmart.com allow third-party sellers or independent vendors to use their platforms to sell their goods. Not all third-party sellers are bad actors, says Kamel. But counterfeiters have found this to be a loophole to get in front of consumers. It's a huge global problem. In a 2023 report, Amazon said they stopped more than 700,000 bad actors from creating new selling accounts and identified, seized, and disposed of more than 7 million counterfeit products worldwide. Safety tips. According to the MSU study, fake products were most commonly purchased on e-commerce platforms, 39%, and social media, 39%. So be wary when you shop on these platforms. Whenever possible, buy directly from the brand or manufacturer. Most brands will have a website where you can buy their product. It's the safest place to shop, says Kamel. Check the product's distributor. If you decide to buy from a third-party seller, do some digging. Who are you actually buying from? Does the seller list an address? What's the company name? If you can't find anything when you search that name on the internet, your antennae should go up. After you've done your research, decide whether buying your product from that vendor is worth the risk. Red flag number three. The reviews of the product and company are really bad or have no bad reviews at all. Reviews can help you evaluate a company's reputation. Now, they may not be 100% accurate or real, but sometimes they can be big indicators, says Kamel. Fake reviews are a big business. In 2023, Amazon blocked more than 250 million suspected scam reviews from its stores worldwide. The site also filed lawsuits against illegal companies that boost product ratings by using the report button to get negative reviews taken down, or hide negative reviews by using the helpful and downvote features. Safety tip: take a moment to evaluate the reviews section of a product page. If a lot of people are complaining about a product or the customer service, that should give you pause. Same goes if the reviews section is seemingly devoid of negative feedback. Red flag number four: the product doesn't seem right. If you end up buying an item from a seller you're not sure about, take a moment to examine its packaging and contents carefully. If it's something we call an obvious counterfeit, you may be able to see something glaringly wrong with it, says Kamel. Maybe the logo looks wrong or the coloring looks wrong. Safety tip: if you suspect that the product is counterfeit, stop using it and report it. More on that below. Unfortunately, as technology is getting better, counterfeits are getting better too, says Kamel. There's no way to know with certainty whether the item from a third-party seller is an authentic product. The only one who can do that is the brand or the manufacturer. What we can do as consumers is at least try to go to the safest place we can to buy our products, she says. Think you bought a counterfeit product? Report it. If you think you bought a counterfeit or unsafe product online, stop using it and report it to the e-commerce platform where you made the purchase. The platform should refund you, start an investigation, and consider taking the product offline. You may want to report the counterfeit to the legitimate brand, too. They may be able to look up the serial number on the product or examine the product itself if you mail it to them and tell you if it is indeed a fake. Lastly, report the seller to a U.S. government agency. The Consumer Product Safety Commission has a list of who to contact by type of product. And now an article from the AARP Bulletin, October 2024 issue. In the Fraud Watch section, how scammers target your emotions. Criminals exploit strong feelings. Here's how to help spot their manipulation, by Sari Harar. Chris Hadnagy is an expert on how scammers use persuasion and manipulation to steal money and information. But after he wrote several books on the subject a few years ago, crooks nailed him with a fake Amazon package delivery scam that pushed all the right buttons. I was stressed about an upcoming conference in Las Vegas when I got this phishing email that my order wouldn't be shipped due to a declined credit card, says Hadnagy, CEO of the company Social Engineer. I was short on time. I felt even more stressed and anxious. I started entering my personal identification when I realized it was the perfect scam. From fear and anxiety to the desire for security or connection, exploiting strong feelings is step one in the scammer playbook. Stirring strong emotions shifts your decision-making away from central processing, when your brain carefully weighs pros and cons, to peripheral processing, when you react on feelings and impressions, says scam researcher Marty DeLiama at the University of Minnesota School of Social Work. Criminals are adept at moving you from emotion to emotion, says Amy Knopfzeiger, AARP's Director of Fraud Victim Support. They take you on this journey. The destination? Your money and private information. Here's how it unfolds with four common emotional scam triggers. Fear. Cindy H., 76, of Colorado, gave scammers $5,000 in cash after someone who sounded like my grandson with a stuffy nose called this year to say he'd been arrested and needed bail for a car accident that injured a pregnant woman. I was so fearful, she says. I'm thinking my grandson could be charged with manslaughter. That night, she called her grandson and discovered it was a scam. Scammer's playbook. Strike terror first, then demand money. They know if we're afraid, we'll make bad decisions, Hadnagy notes. Loneliness. Jerry Waxman, 71, received a wrong number text followed by a photo from someone claiming to be a young San Francisco woman. Waxman, who lives in Puerto Rico, fell into a routine of text conversations with her. There was a friendship that developed, he says. He lost all of his savings when the friendship morphed into a gold and cryptocurrency scam. Scammer's playbook. Exploit the human need for connection. Scammers may get close through a fake friendship or romance, Knopfzeiger says. Once the attachment develops, the scammer subtly introduces money. Avarice. Waxman's scammer shared screenshots off a fake website showing hundreds of thousands of dollars in profits she claimed to have made with quick gold trades. An initial $2,000 investment earned 40%. Waxman went all in. Then his scammer disappeared, along with his $26,000. Scammer's playbook. The slow buildup. Investment scams try to establish trust slowly so victims believe the fabulous winnings are real. In Waxman's case, the scammer built up the friendship for weeks, dangling her winnings. When he finally invested, Waxman was at first able to withdraw some money, which made the investment look legit. Anxiety. Imposters claiming to represent the Social Security Administration threatened people with arrest. Victims of the scheme felt panic and an overwhelming sense of dread, they reported in a 2021 University of Minnesota study. They lost an average of $6,000. Scammer's playbook. Crooks told victims someone had stolen their Social Security number and they needed to send money fast to protect their account. They get you afraid and then present a solution, DeLiama says. Spot and outsmart scammers' emotional triggers. Number one, take a break. If you notice you're feeling a strong emotion during an interaction with a stranger, recognize the danger and step away. Number two, tell someone. In DeLiama's study, people who shared what was happening with a friend or family member were told it's a scam. Number three, do your own research. Don't click on links or use phone numbers, email addresses, or account numbers provided by scammers. And number four, set up a crisis-only code word with family members. Agree on a word to use in an emergency that everyone can remember. And another article from the AARP Bulletin October 2024 issue, VA offers help to military scam targets. Veterans, active duty military, and their families are often targets of scammers. Current and former service members reported $477 million in losses from scams last year, the Federal Trade Commission says. In response, the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, VA, launched vsafe.gov and 833-38-VSAFE, which is also 833-388-7233. The new website and call center will coordinate efforts across the federal government to protect veterans, service members, and their families from fraud and scams. The website includes resources on identity theft and the most common scams targeting veterans, including romance and other imposter scams, fake job offers, and bogus investment schemes. The call center provides a simple way to report scams. All federal agencies will be advised to route military members and veterans reporting scams to the correct place for assistance. This is a positive step, says Juanita Jimenez-Soto, AARP National Veterans and Military Families Manager, noting how crucial it is for veterans to understand the red flags for fraud. They protected us. We should be protecting them. Last year, military consumers lost a median of $599 to scams reported to the FTC, which was 20% more than the $500 median loss reported by non-military consumers, according to the FTC's Consumer Sentinel Network Data Book 2023. That concludes our Listener Beware program for today. I hope you found this helpful. This is Frances at SunSounds. Have a great rest of your day. If you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org. Left click on Broadcast Info and Audio. Then, under Programming Links, left click on On Demand Podcasts. Also, you can now listen to SunSounds on your Echo Dot or other smart home device.